Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, a weekly public affairs program that introduces you to the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Today's program over News Talk 1310 WBFD is hosted by Lloyd Roach. Bedford County Speaks is heard every Saturday at this time. Now let's join Lloyd for this week's discussion on Bedford County Speaks.
And thank you, Matt DeFazio, and good morning to you. Welcome to Bedford County Speaks, the weekly public affairs program over News Talk 1310 WBFD. Today's program is presented as a public service by Destination Delco. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here on Route 220 in Bedford. That's Thomas, saving you time and money and worry for over 100 years. I'll be back in a moment with today's guest, John Mize of the Railroaders Memorial Museum and Horseshoe Curve and National Historic Landmark. Wow, that's a lot. Anyway, we'll be back in a minute.
Hello, I'm Mark Thomas. So often, when you want to buy a car or truck, you're told to make sure you get a good deal. So what is a good deal? Is it just the price of the vehicle, or is it something else? At Thomas Chevrolet, we think that a good deal means everything that's important to us. Things like our multi-generational reputation for honesty and integrity, or the free inspection service you get on your purchase after you roll out of here, or the fact that your car or truck has been checked thoroughly by our factory-trained service department to make sure it's safe, or that we're a family-owned dealership that feels a responsibility to our customers. That's what a good deal means to us. How about you? The next time you need a car or truck, visit Thomas Chevrolet Subaru first. We'll show you what a good deal really is.
Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, where buying a car or truck is always worry-free.
This is Joe Padula, promoter of the Bedford Speedway, and you're listening to Bedford County Speaks over News Talk 1310 WBFD.
When I joined the Navy in 1962, there was a guy who I met on the brow of the ship as I was coming out with my sea bag as a newly minted recruit. And this guy grabbed me by this big hairy hand. Honestly, he looked like Popeye, typical old crusty sailor. And he says to me, "Do you like Johnny Cash?" Said, "Sure, I love Johnny Cash." He says, "Great." So he takes me down into the compartment. "Here, turn this record player on. You're going to hear Johnny Cash." And for 3 hours, I heard nothing but Johnny Cash railroad songs. And that is probably my first introduction to the world of railroading, was on those records from Johnny Cash. Well, I am at the granddaddy museum of all time here in Altoona, and Bedford County Speaks has gone to great expense to go up to Altoona, up 99, to meet a fascinating guy named John Mize, who is the curator of the Railroad Museum and the Horseshoe Curve, the National Historic Landmark in Altoona. John is a fascinating guy, but even more so, his museum is fascinating. I don't think anybody in this region can probably trace back their ancestry more than one or two generations and have not somebody that worked for the Pennsylvania Railroad around here. I just find that would probably be inconceivable. So John, welcome. Thanks very much. I really appreciate your talking to us this morning, and I can't wait to hear what you're about. I have a question for you before we get into the railroad thing. You have a very broad background. I understand you're an ex-radio announcer, television producer, audio-visual guy, school teacher, professor, and you've been a volunteer in railroad museums. How on earth did you end up here?
I work for a operating railroad down in Maryland, and I was its museum director, and most of our equipment on our trains were Pennsylvania Railroad equipment. And so I came up here because the equipment was built here in the shops in the 40s and so forth, our locomotives and some of our cars. So I came up looking for more detailed information for our cars so that we could have in our museum and have on our brochures. Well, I came up here and came into the museum, and at that time they did not have a curator or an archivist or whatever. And coming into the museum, this huge building, you go to the fourth floor and 90 feet of just grandma's attic of train things. So I went through, and over the course of a number of months, I went through and was digging into their stacks and their piles of stuff and was finding all this interesting stuff. A lot of amazing stuff upstairs in our archives that was lying around, and I was trying to keep myself on track, but there were so many things up there. So through the course of 3 months of multiple visits, I came up and was going through the collections. And at the end of 3 months, I said, "You have an amazing treasure of records and images and things up here. Here's what you ought to do with it. You know, here's 10, 12 things that I would do, organize organize this and set up audiovisual and add these additional things and go through and set up this postcard collection and these oral history collections and things like that. Here's what you ought to do. So I wrote this and I said, thank you so much for letting me come through and go through your stuff. I did a little bit of organization while I was going through things, but here's a list of what you ought to do. So I presented that to the folks here, and less than a week later, they came to me and said, if you could do these kind of things on the list, and they put check marks by these things, you can have a job here as the curator. And I said, well, the most I can give you is part-time because I'm working elsewhere and doing all this other stuff. I can give you, 20 hours a week, that kind of stuff, various days, and do whatever I can, and I'd be glad to do it. So that was 3 years ago.
Rail fans are not new. They've been around since the 1930s.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's more than a railroad. It's really part of early America, isn't it?
It is. It's part of culture. In other words, the railroads actually, in the heyday, in the 1830s, 40s, 50s, that was the technology, the single most technology that tied this whole country together. It spanned the distances of our great country and it brought it all together. It linked, this great nation. By the time of the Civil War, it had pulled together all the different states into the northern unit and the southern unit. And because of the railroads, that's one of the major reasons that the North won the Civil War, because they were able to gather all their resources, all their forces, and so forth. The northern states had a much better railroad system than the South, and they were able to use it and mobilize all that other stuff. But anyway, the railroads tied together this country, and they were that technology that was there to pull it all together in our huge country into manageable areas and things like that. Part of that pulling it together was the Pennsylvania Railroad, which turned out to be the most prominent railroad, in fact, corporation of its time at, in the 1800s into the
1900s. I just said it was the biggest corporation in the world.
It was. And not only was it huge in terms of its size and its employees, it actually became what was called the standard railroad of the world. In other words, it took all previous technology innovations and it standardized parts and systems and workforce and all that other stuff. And railroads from all over the world would come and study how the Pennsylvania Railroad put things together and all its standards and how it did things from basic work processes and interchangeable parts and locomotives and how to put together things and how to test things and all that stuff. And all that standardization, all that testing, all those things was here in Altoona. Well, we here at the museum, we're doing an exhibit. We put this up on the curve and we're going to expand it. It's timetables and trains.
Oh,
in
boy.
Other words, through the various decades of all the timetables. So we did a lot of research. And in the heyday of the late 1920s, there were 70 trains a day through Altoona. You could actually have taken a train from here at the museum up to the Horseshoe Curve because there were four trains a day that were locals that stopped at every little bird.
So you're talking about passenger trains?
Yeah, passenger trains.
But that doesn't include the freight?
No. They had,
oh my word.
In the 20s, they had over 200 trains a day, including all the passenger and the freight trains. At the height of World War II, They took one day and they did this survey and study and so forth. 241 trains in a 24-hour period.
Our guest is John Mize, yes, the curator of the Railroad Museum here in Altoona. And John, we're going to talk a little bit about the museum itself in a second, but I really want to talk to you about the Altoona shops.
Yes.
It was a massive enterprise, wasn't
exactly
it? What did they do here?
Well, everything was done here. Everything involved with the Pennsylvania Railroad was done here. Okay. Not only you had standards, you had testing, you had design, you had all that other stuff, but all the locomotives were built here.
They manufactured
the locomotives here in the shops. They did the cars here. They had 25,000 cars were built here. Maybe 1,500, 2,000. I have the numbers somewhere. I could look them up. But thousands of locomotives were built here. locomotives not only were built here, they were designed here. The electric locomotives that ran by your old home in Paoli, all that other stuff, they were designed here. They were built here. The GG1s, the famous electric steam engines and all that stuff. All those standards, all those locomotives were built here. All the parts were built here that were throughout the systems. They developed the standard passenger station formats. You would see these shelters, the stations. They were all engineered and developed here. A lot of the, if you looked at each of the platforms and each of the places you got on a train, they all had a standardized, and they did things on such a huge scale that they were constantly testing and improving. Not far from here in Altoona, Altoona Museum, up by 17th Street, they had a complete building where they would roll in the locomotives on like a treadmill, a dynamometer, and all this other stuff. And they would test all the different perfections and changes. And they would wheel an engine in there, and it would be there running full steam engine, running 60, 70 miles per hour. And they had all these fancy gauges, and they would test it and say, let's tweak this or let's adjust this part,
so
whatever.
I'm trying to get this in my mind. So there's a steam engine going 60 miles per hour, but it's not.
Right. It's sitting in the test. They wheel it up the test track, and there's the guys, you know, you have a fireman shoveling, you have an engineer running it, and it's sitting there right on this treadmill, and it's running. And we have video here in the museum of them doing that.
Really?
We have images of that because it was just up the street. And this building that houses the museum is the Master Mechanics Building, built in 1882, but it also had a test component as well as an office and storage component. And it was part of the huge complex of the shops. And the shops, in its heyday, if you lined up every building in the shop end to end, it would be 5 miles long, a constant building.
You know, we hear so much today about, you know, modern corporations like Microsoft and so forth and how they've standardized everything. But this is all being done in the 19th century here in Altoona.
Right.
See, these guys were way, way ahead of everyone. I
mean, not only were the standards developed, but the process of standardization was developed here. And that's why the Pennsylvania Railroad was known as the standard railroad of the world.
Gotcha.
And all that came out of Altoona.
Now, when they built a locomotive or a car here in Altoona, were their customers always the Pennsylvania Railroad, or did they sell another?
Predominantly, it was Pennsylvania Railroad.
Right.
But a lot of the designs were then used by other railroad companies. And there were some side orders, but the shops had their hands full with this railroad with tens of thousands of engines and hundreds of thousands of freight cars and thousands of passenger cars. Not only were they built and upgraded, but they had to be maintained. You know, you can imagine a million people riding in passenger cars over the course of a year or so. They had to come in and get, you know, everything had to be reupholstered. So they had carpenter shops, they had upholstery shops, they had paint shops, they had every imaginable service. They had huge foundries. They were, imagine the power consumption and the water consumption for steam boilers. Numbers are just amazing. You come to the museum, I think your jaw will drop when you see all the numbers. You
know. Our guest is John Mize, who is the curator of the Railroad Museum here in Altoona. And when we come back, we're going to ask John about this magnificent museum they have here. And you've got to come and see this. But you're going to see what it was like when your grandfathers and great-grandfathers were working here as Bedford County Speaks continues.
DestinationDelco.com, a new way to experience Delaware County. From Philly to the Brandywine, we have the Crossroads, Riverside, Main Streets, Main Line, and the Brandywine. 5 different ways to experience Delaware County. Check us out at DestinationDelco.com. Be sure to listen to Bedford County Speaks, brought to you by DestinationDelco.com. Saturdays at 8:30 a.m., just before Rush, on News Talk 1310 WBFD.
Now, let's head back to today's Bedford County Speaks.
You're listening to Bedford County Speaks. My name is Lloyd Roach, and today our guest is John Mizer. We are in Altoona, and we're in Altoona to look at this magnificent railroad museum called the Railroaders Memorial Museum, Horseshoe Curve, and National Historic Landmark. And boy, it is sure all of those things. Just to remind you today that Bedford County Chamber of Commerce proudly supports and celebrates the business community of the Bedford County region. To learn more, visit them online at bedfordcountyspeaks.com. No, visit them online. That's my website. Visit them online at bedfordcountychamber.com. A little carried away there, John. You know, just I also want to remind you, of course, that our sponsors today are also Thomas Chevrolet and Destination Delco. Okay, what we're going to do is we're going to take you on a verbal tour, not a virtual tour, but a verbal tour of this fabulous museum. First of all, John, this is an enormous building. I understand it's one of the original buildings.
Yes.
Tell me about that and just take me right up.
Well, this is the it's a four-story brick master mechanics building built in 1882 in the prime of the growth of the shops. And it was right in the center of the western edge of the shops. The shops extended for miles along the right-of-way. But this building was the Master Mechanics building, and it was in three parts. It had the Master Mechanics office, it had some test facilities, and had some storage in it. Now, this building in the mid-1990s was meticulously restored to its original 1920s appearance, and then, of course, the museum components were put inside. Well, it's three stories of the railroaders' experience of Altoona. This is a rather unique museum. There are railroad museums, there are train museums all over the country. This is rather unique because it focuses on the railroad culture, not the technology. There's technology, obviously, but it focuses on the railroaders' lifestyle. So when you come into the museum, you come into this multi-floor lobby that's been decorated, made up to look like a neighborhood, and it has a neighborhood component, it has a railroad component, it has a shop component, it has a locomotive right there in the lobby, and we have an audio sound. We have various audio shows that go on, and so you get the. You get the conversations of the railroad community, you get the conversations in the shops, you hear the sounds of the railroad in operation, you hear the neighborhood sound.
When I walked in, I saw front of what appeared to be a real locomotive. Yes. Is that a piece of a real locomotive?
It's a replica, okay. But it's a life-size replica.
But you have
replica.
Pieces of real
yes.
engineering equipment in here, don't you?
Oh, yes,
you?
Yes.
Okay,
well, not only do we have, I'm glad you brought that up, not only do we have this amazing building, which is 120 feet long and four stories, and 30 feet wide. We also have, in recent years, in fact, it's only been open for the last 2 years, we have a roundhouse, which was the end-all and do-all place for all types of repair, maintenance, and whatever for locomotives. So the roundhouse with an operating turntable, we have full-size equipment in there. And in there, we have the K4 1361, which has a very long storied past.
That's some a steam, good, steam locomotive?
Okay. Yes, steam locomotive. It's the, if you look on a Pennsylvania license plate and you see the steam locomotive which of Pennsylvania, okay. It's that locomotive.
Got to slow you down for a second.
Yes, I'm sorry.
That's
going
okay.
Forever.
Because you've seen all this stuff.
Yes.
Why did you need to put a locomotive on a turntable?
Well, we wanted to show.
I mean, why did they have them in the first place?
Okay.
What was that for?
The whole concept of a roundhouse was that in the least amount of space, you could put all the different requirements for steam locomotive maintenance and operation. So you brought in, you would bring in a locomotive on a sidetrack, bring it into this roundhouse. Well, in order to get into the proper stall of a roundhouse, you needed to be able to switch in there. Well, switches take a lot of space. But if you came in on a turntable, you could essentially dial up the track that you want to go to. So you brought the engine in and you put the engine on the turntable and say, okay, this one just needs maintenance. So you go to the maintenance area. Or this one needs a major overhaul. Well, you go there. It's like taking your car to a...
This is kind of what I'm having.
Yeah.
So you're telling me that you put this multi-zillion ton locomotive on a turntable and then turned it around?
Then you turn it around and put it in the right tracks. We have an operating turntable here, and we have four tracks, and we tested the turntable a year ago. We took our big GG1 electric locomotive, which you could see in the roundhouse, put it on the turntable, and I had a chance to spin it around and make sure it worked out. We put it on different tracks and so forth. So that's working. We have a seven-stall roundhouse or a seven-track roundhouse. Four of the tracks are for the museum. Three of the tracks are for the Penn State Altoona Railroad Engineering Program, which is a couple years in the going, and that's going to be their laboratory. So
gotcha.
If you come and visit the museum, not only do you see this huge building, but you can go walk through the roundhouse and see all types of exhibits there. We have Pullman cars, we have a steam locomotive, we have a GG1 electric locomotive, the K4 1361 restoration group, restoration area, it's in process. You can see them working on it. There's a tour with different exhibits. We even have a railroad vehicle exhibit.
Do you have real Altoona shop guys still working on some of this
stuff?
Well,
we have some people that were like sons and daughters and so forth, and there are a few of the older guys in the later years who worked on in the shops under Conrail and so forth. They come in and help, but we have a group of volunteers and some skilled folks. And what we're doing right now is we're taking we have all the K4 parts, and we're going through and we're making sure they're all good, and we're going to slowly put it back together for hopefully a rolling exhibit, and then who knows from there.
Okay, so we're going to push two on the elevator button and go up to the second floor.
Well,
what's on that?
The first floor, let me just say
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to get
First floor, you come into the lobby. Okay,
right.
We have a fine gift shop, but you have this lobby, and it's multiple floors, and it you're supposed to be transported back in time to the 1920s, where you had the area of Altoona in the 20s. Well, the way Altoona is set up, you had in the valley, you had the railroad and all the shops.
Right.
And on the hills, you would have all the different neighborhoods, and they were ethnic and whatever. Mm-hmm. So a railroad worker would essentially leave his house in the morning at the sound of the whistle of the shop, and he would walk down and over bridges, whatever, over the railroad to his shops. So the railroad museum is set up. The first floor is this lobby, multi-floor area of what it was like in Altoona. We also have a theater where you can walk in and see various movies, and we have two major movies that go on. And when you're planning your visit, that's the only thing that's really scheduled. So you see what the movie schedule is, you go work, they're 2 20-30 minute movies, you see them, and then you go around the museum. Well, so the first floor in the lobby has this multi-floor representation of Altoona. What's neat, the second floor, when you walk up, the second floor is in two areas. Mm-hmm. And joining these two areas is a bridge, which is a representation of what's called the 12th Street Bridge, which is probably the most famous bridge between neighborhoods and the shops. And so you essentially walk upstairs to the second floor. On one side of the museum is a total representation of the town of Altoona in the 1920s. So you have a 1920s home, you have a newsstand, you have a bar, which is amazing because we have audio visual, so you could walk in there.
I went in the bar.
The bar is my favorite place because you could go in and we have a big screen presentation where we have people talking about their day, and you can sit at the bar and watch the video like they're sitting across. So on one side you have the town. Okay, so then you walk across the bridge like a worker would leave the town area, his neighborhood, walk across the bridge, and on the other side of the bridge is all this is railroad stuff. So it's railroad technology and shop technology and railroad operational technology and all that stuff. So it's like walking across the 12th Street Bridge. Now, one of our favorite scenes in that bridge is there's a woman standing on the bridge, and one of the most famous sayings of that, you could tell a city girl from a country girl. When you walk across the bridge, obviously the train's running underneath and the steam's coming up, and you know, almost like Marilyn Monroe where the dress comes up, whatever. Yeah. Well, you could tell a country girl from a city girl, where the country girl holds her dress down and her hat blows away. The city girl holds her hat on and doesn't worry about it if her dress goes up. So have that going on. So
that's good, yeah.
But so it goes to the whole theme of the museum, where it's the railroaders museum. It's not railroad technology, it's the lifestyle, the work and living and whatever. So the second floor represents, you know, here's the neighborhood, here's the bridge over to the shops, and we have the shops. And then we go to we'll go to the third floor, and it's the whole Pennsylvania railroad culture. In other words, you can go into the president's office, you can go into, we have a huge model railroad that represents all different parts of the Pennsylvania railroad system, including the shop areas. You can go in and see, we have a segment on Altoona and how the Pennsylvania railroad is. We have trains running and that kind of stuff. And we have a locomotive cab where you can go in and see all the parts of a steam engine. And we have all kinds of other displays that take you through the the Pennsylvania Railroad. Then we have a what's called a test area, and it shows you all the testing things that have gone on. I talked about that that locomotive testing area. We have a movie on that. We have a big display on that. A lot of different things. So it's three floors of what it was like to be in Altoona, to live, to work, and the whole Pennsylvania Railroad operation.
Do you ever have engineering students coming through here looking
yes,
at some of that?
Yes, yeah. Yes. Well, we have, like I said before, we have the Roundhouse, and that's the Penn State Altoona Engineering Program. Right. I met with the students, and they've come in, and they were amazed at how we, you know, replicated and you know, interpreted all the technology. And they've come in, they've volunteered with me. And part of my role as curator is maintaining the archives and all the things behind all these exhibits.
Yeah, I think one of the most interesting things to me in the year 2016 is the recent resurgence of the value of freight railroads. I mean,
yes.
Norfolk Southern and CSX are doing very well.
Yes, yes.
And they're using essentially the same technology that was developed here in Altoona, obviously with much more modern equipment using computers, but the stuff is still big and it's all... You know, big railroad stuff. We have just a few minutes left, so I have to, because that's going to unwind you a little bit.
Yeah,
because I want you to tell me a little bit about the other side of the effort up here, and that's the Horseshoe Curve.
Okay. Well, the Horseshoe Curve was one of the top 10 engineering landmarks of the world, because imagine a situation, like there are other railroad engineering feats and so forth. You can go throughout the country and see these fabulous bridges and things like this. But imagine in 1850. The late 1840s, and you're pioneering, hacking your way through the wilds of Pennsylvania and trying to lay out a railroad route, and you come up a valley and it's a dead end into this mountainside. So they said, well, hey, if we go up one end of the valley and make this big sweeping arc around the edge where the mountain is, and then go up the other valley, by doing this curve, we can keep the grades down. Well, imagine with just chains and sight lines and string and so forth, these engineers came up this valley in 1849, 1850, and they said, we're going to lay this out. And they laid it out, and over the years, they added more track, and they've done some improvements, but the original alignment is still there today, and 70 trains a day go over the curve.
What astounds me about the Horseshoe Curve or anything else is the engineers did this before the invention of the slide rule.
Exactly.
Forget the computer.
Right.
They didn't have a slide rule. So they did it by hand calculations.
Yes.
And I read in one of your books that if they went out and did it today with a computer, they probably couldn't do it any differently.
No.
It was good.
It was done. You had... You know, strings and chains and ropes and you know, sight lines. And no, they laid it out, and, you know, the only improvements or only differences they made is because it started out with one track and then two tracks and then four tracks. And they put, you know, different cars and they spaced things a little, but the alignment still remains the same. You know, 160 some years later.
I wish I could talk to you forever, but I can't. We're almost out of time, and I just need you to tell me, first of all, what's the best way to learn more about this place? Do you have a website?
We have our website. Mm-hmm. It's railroadcity.com, and you can go on there, and it will give you a taste of the museum, a taste of the Horseshoe Curve. We have webcams, so you can see.
Good.
Actually, we have one webcam right up on the curve, and you can see what's up there, and we have one out on the museum. So we have a website. That's a place to start. And we do a lot of other things, but go to their website. You can then please come and visit us. We're right in the heart. You know, I talked about that 12th Street Bridge. We are one block away from the hub of this area of Altoona.
So if you walked over that bridge today, you'd end up at the train station.
Right. And you can take Amtrak in.
Sure.
You can actually come in from Pittsburgh and in the morning and get here at 10 in the morning, take the train out at 5,
and
get right over the curve, too.
Well, actually, I think that coming here on anything but a train would probably be sacrilegious anyway.
Yes,
so, well, you've been great. Thank you very, very much. You've been terrific.
I wish I could talk more.
Don't worry. Let me give you another chance. John Mize, the curator of the Railroad Memorial Museum and Horseshoe Curve, a National Historic Landmark here in Altoona. And if you just remember, their website is railroadcity.com. We want to thank John and all of his staff for inviting us over here today, and we've really enjoyed it very much. And we will have you back.
Great.
We have to get you wound up again. You're just a really exciting guy.
Well, there's just so much.
Okay. Well, thank you again. You've really been a great sport. Bedford County Speaks was presented this morning by DestinationDelco.com. From Philly to the Brandywine, that's DestinationDelco.com. And by Thomas Chevrolet Subaru, right here in Bedford, saving you time, money, and worry for over 100 years. I look forward to joining you next week, right here on News Talk 1310 WBFD. Until then, enjoy your weekend. This is Lloyd Roach.
You have been listening to Bedford County Speaks. Listen each Saturday beginning at 8:30 to hear about the work, lives, and lifestyles in Bedford County. Bedford County Speaks is a presentation of the News and Public Affairs Department of News Talk 1310 WBFD. Thanks for listening.